I'm going to call the Orange County, I'm going to call the Orange County Water District's Admin Finance Committee to order. Today is Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. That's a roll call, please.
Roll call, Director Yeo,
Present.
Director Nguyen, Director Amezcua,
Present.
Director Meeks, Director Whitaker,
Here.
Director Wigand,
Here.
Director Bilodeau,
Here.
Director Sheldon,
I'm here.
Director Tran, Director Green.
Yes.
You do have a quorum of your committee.
Thank you. Yeah, my mistake. Today is April 11th, right? Yeah, let me get the correct agenda here on my screen. Yeah, I reviewed it this morning and I was reviewing Wix. Okay. Happened here? I'm sorry, bear with me here for a sec. All right. Okay, so Mr. General Manager, are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Okay, thank you. Any visitors participation from your end or virtually?
Don't see any.
No, none
All
virtually.
right. All right, seeing and hearing none, let's move on to our agenda. First up is the consent calendar consisting of items number 1 through 6. Is there anyone wish to pull any items for discussion or comment? If not, I would entertain a motion.
I would move to the balance, or actually the entire calculation.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Motion by Director Whitaker and seconded by Director Amezcua. Roll call.
Roll call, Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Amezcua?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Wigand?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the item. I believe is item number 2 that not item number 3 that it's good to see that we continue to be on the positive with the swap with Citibank, and hope the trend continues. Okay, moving on to informational item. Item number 7 is the proposed fiscal year 2024-25 general fund budget. John.
Yeah, our CFO, Randy Fick, will present this to the committee.
Yeah, Mr. Fick, go ahead.
So this is a discussion about our fiscal year 2024-25 budget. This is the general fund review. And here's our budget calendar that you've seen quite often. And currently, April 11th, the Admin and Finance to review the general fund budget portion of the overall budget. And then next Wednesday, the board meeting, we'll have a public hearing set the RA and the VPP. And then consideration to approve the 24-25 budget. Here's a pie chart of our planned expenditures for the 24-25 year, just under $250 million. And today we're looking at the general fund of $105.2 million and then the PFAS O&M coupled with that at $5.4 million. So total expenditures of $110.6 million. So the general fund is divided into 21 different departments for greater detail and clarity, and it includes our salaries, supplies, and services. So our salaries makes up about 40% of our total general fund expenses, and then 60% of our general fund expenses for next year are for supplies and services. It includes all the district's operations from the groundwater replenishment system, Green Acres Project, running that, maintaining the two seawater barriers, recharge operations, the Prado wetlands, the lab, water quality, and then our administrative departments, hydrogeology engineering, natural resources planning, and property. So the general fund was reviewed by the general manager, all 21 departments, sitting with the department managers of those 21 departments. That was done at the end of January. And the general fund includes $5.4 million of PFAS water treatment costs. The district is sharing 50% of those total costs with the producers to operate the PFAS treatment O&M projects. And there's no increase in the planned headcount for next year. We're currently at 226.5, and we plan to keep it the same. But overall, an increase of about $9.2 million in the general fund from fiscal year ending 2024-2025, about a 9% increase. So merit is budgeted at 3% for salaries and for the district, and then the cost of living adjustment, the COLA, is at 4.5 for next fiscal year. And any job replacements must be approved by the general manager. We'll take a look at the general fund expenditures, first looking at by expense, and then we'll look at it by department. So looking at it by expense, we'll take a quick look at any items over or under $100 million for the difference between the proposed 24-25 budget and the current 23-24 budget. So the first one is wages and benefits. And it's an increase of almost $3 million or 7.5%. As I mentioned earlier, the COLA for next year is 4.5%, coupled with merit based on the employee's performance budget at 3%, getting us to the 7.5%. Utilities, an increase of about $4.7 million, or just under 20% for utilities. This is largely electricity to operate the groundwater replenishment system. The rates have increased. For example, in 22, the calendar year, we were paying about 14.9 cents per kilowatt hour. In 23, that increased to 16.1 cents per kilowatt hour, about an increase of 8% for the rate. The other thing that's taking place here is we're currently considerably over budget for the first 6 months of this fiscal year. For our electricity, we're about $2 million over in the current budget year for the first 6 months. Projecting that out, we think we're going to be about $4 million over budget for electricity to operate the replenishment system. So that's another thing that's driving up the cost for next fiscal year. And chemicals, good news story. We're projecting to be down $2 million budget to budget year, or about 12%. So you may recall that we went out to bid at the end of last calendar year for five chemicals. We purchase and use about seven major chemicals to operate the treatment system. And every one of those five that we went out to bid on came in less than what we're currently paying. It ranged from like a decrease from 8% to 56% for these chemicals. So that's why we have a nice reduction here in chemicals. And then the other item that were a change of over $1 million is producer PFAS O&M, which is the fifth line item down. So we're currently budgeting $3.5 million this year. We're projecting that to go to $5.4 million, an increase of $1.9 million. We're projecting to have a number of PFAS treatment systems requiring resin change-out. The largest three driving this cost, we're projecting Anaheim, Yorba Linda, and Garden Grove to require resin change-outs. Therefore, we have an increase in our proposed budget.
But they've gone much longer than we expected, correct?
Correct.
Yes. Very good. So this explains the majority of the $9.2 million increase in the general fund, or about a 9.12% increase. So now we'll look at it by department, and we'll focus on any increases over 10% by department.
Mr. Chair, can we ask a question before we go on?
Of course, Director Shelton.
Thank you. Randy, so what's the reason for the significant increase in the electricity and the power?
One is the rate increase. So from 22 to 23, the calendar year, we had a rate increase from Constellation and Southern California Edison of about 8%. So carrying that forward, that's part of the explanation for the increase. And the other increase is this year, we're just simply over budget. So we budgeted too little this year at 23.6. For the first 6 months of the year, we were about $2 million over budget. Electricity was for the first 6 months.
Did we underestimate the usage?
I'm sorry, can you say that one more time?
Did we underestimate the usage in addition to the rate increase?
There was a combination of rate and usage.
Thank you.
So the expansion was a factor in that?
Yeah, with all the construction going on with the final expansion and not knowing exactly when the final expansion would come online and the plant would be operating or not operating based on what construction was going on, it was just hard in general to develop the budget. And yeah, for this year, we under budgeted. Yeah.
And John, since we're talking about utilities and for the benefit of the newer directors, at one point in the past, we had direct access, right? That we were able to get very favorable rates, I think, what, like 5 or 6 cents per kilowatt? And is that no longer the case, right?
Yeah, it's no longer that cheap.
So we still have direct access. And if our contract with Constellation for direct access expired about 2.5 years ago, and we were, like I say, we were paying for a number of years about 5.5 cents per kilowatt hour for the actual power through direct access. But now we're closer to about 9 cents a kilowatt hour with this new agreement with Constellation.
I mean, we have a couple of things going on, Director Yeo. So in the past, prior to 2022, the rates on the direct access market or even through Edison, but particularly direct access, were a lot lower. The rates in general, not only direct access, Edison's even higher, continue to rise. And that's part of California's goal to be on 100% renewable energy. So in anticipation of that, they are adding more and more charges onto the power, whether you buy it through direct access or through Edison. And in turn, Edison is also charging more for their distribution charges for bringing the power in when you buy through direct access. You still are using Edison transmission and distribution lines for that purpose. And it's those fees that are continuing to drive the price up. Even if you get a good commodity price from a direct access provider, the fees continue to go up. And the commodity price in the direct access market is higher than it would have been 5 or 6 years ago because of that uncertainty. All of them are charging more. And part of that, too, is the fees are there to help prevent against grid inadequacy. So a lot of the direct access providers are hedging their pricing, knowing that they're responsible for having excess capacity available when the grid is tapped, particularly in hot weather events, summertime. So all of those edges are making even a third party direct access providers not able to offer the rates they would have 5 or 6 years ago. It's still cheaper than going directly through Edison, but we don't see the price really starting to come down or at least level out till probably 2026. So we're having Constellation do another projection for us to see what it would be when we have to renew for the next round of the contract, which would be essentially middle of 2026.
Okay, Michal, thank you. Thank you for the additional clarity. Okay, and Randy, can you please continue?
Thank you. So here we'll look at our same general fund costs by department versus looking at it by expense. So look at any items with a 10% increase or more. So first, the general manager's office, a 13.63% increase. This is due to basically two items aside from the payroll increases that we talked about earlier. Number one, our legal budget is currently at $250,000. We're increasing that to $350,000 for next year. In fact, we took this item a month or two ago to the board to increase the current budget because we were exceeding that. So trying to get that budget up to where we actually think we're going to be spending. And the other one is the SOPA contribution from the district. It's increasing largely for two reasons. One, there's a PFAS study included in the 24-25 budget that wasn't in the current budget. And then there's a weather modification pilot project. So those two items are increasing the contribution from the member agencies to SOPA for next year from $313,000 to about $460,000. Next item is the information services department, a 19.67% increase. This is largely for the two items. One, a headcount position is being moved from the R&D department to the IS department for getting a programmer. So headcount stays the same, but that's part of the reason for the increase in the information services department. The other thing is there's some software that we're planning to purchase next year, a permit monitoring management software through CLEAR. While it's in the IS department, they're not the one actually using the software, but they're going to be helping managing it. Therefore, it's in the department. This will be used by our planning department. So those are the two items driving the information services department. And then board administration of 17.26%. This is a result of trying to bring the election costs up to current costs. The previous budget was much lower. We've been experiencing higher costs, and that's why the increase in the board admin department. And risk and safety, up 34%. Risk and safety is largely due to the increase in costs for general liability and property insurance. So we've seen some large increases there. So we're projecting about a $430,000 increase in general liability and property for the district versus what we have budgeted this year. Finally, the laboratory, an increase of 13.45%. 75% of the R&D, excuse me, the laboratory is salaries and benefits. So that increased 7.5%. And the other thing is they have an increase of about $220,000 in supplies for the lab, which is a result of two things. Number one, inflation. And the other thing is we have more testing. PFAS is bringing on more testing and then just more testing in general. So that explains why the lab has increased. Moving on to the next slide, the Planning and Watershed Management Department up 32.2%. This is due to professional services. an increase of about $445,000 for professional services. Some new things coming under their budget. Number one, payroll operations implementation, water conservation studies, and finally, photo modeling, writing up the professional services costs within this department. And then finally, producer PFAS O&M, an increase of 54% from this year's budget to next year's budget. As I mentioned, what's driving this is the planned resin changeouts, increasing our costs. We'll be contributing 50% of the producer PFAS O&M cost for 24-25. And with that, we can receive any board comments and answer any questions.
All right, Randy, thank you for the detailed information. Any questions or comments for Randy?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Director Whitaker has a question. We do lab testing for other agencies, for outside agencies, correct? And how much cost recovery do we receive on that as a percentage or a lab?
There's no cost recovery for the producers, but they pay the RA for it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We don't really do testing for anybody outside of that. Right.
No, that's it. Yeah.
Okay, good. No, I wasn't clear on that, so that's helpful. The only other thing I noticed, and it was explanatory there a little bit, was that general manager's office and safety and risk management seem to have much higher services and supplies as a ratio of their overall budget. And I understand a little bit more here. Legal services goes with the general manager, and SAPA is in there as well, right?
Yes.
It's interesting. Okay. That's all that I have, Mr. Chair. Thanks.
Thank you for the comments, Director Whitaker. Anyone else? All right. If not, Randy, thank you very much for the detailed explanations and justifications for all the cost increases. It's very clear. Appreciate the report. Where did my mouse go? All right, so I think we have one more item or two. Next up is another information item, proposed fiscal year 24-25 budget option. Randy again, I believe.
Oh, sorry, Director Yo, this is Dina. I think you guys didn't hear me, but I approve of the budget report.
Thank you, it was informational. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for your vote of confidence. Okay, Randy.
I'll set this up, Director Yo. We presented the draft budget to the board on March 6th, and we had included a recommended RA increase of about 10%. And we also showed the board a five-year projection of where we thought the RA would be going. And everything's primarily being driven by PFAS. And, you know, we talked yesterday, we're going to have another 40 wells needing PFAS treatment because of the EPA's new MCL. But during the discussion with the board on March 6th, there were a few board members were asking, was there anything we could do to maybe lower the RA for next year and lower the projections? So this staff report is in response to those board questions we had. And Randy's going to present it, but we did come up with one option where we potentially could lower the RA for next year. And we wanted to discuss that with you.
Okay, thank you. Randy.
Thanks, John. So as John said, this is the replenishment assessment option and revised five-year forecast. So staff recommended a replenishment assessment of $688 an acre foot, or about a 10.3% increase for 24-25, and leaving the basin production percentage at 85% as it is this year. Staff also provided a five-year RA projection. And it's difficult to project out 5 years. There's a lot of different reasons why this is. And here's a couple of them. PFAS has made it fairly difficult to project our pumping, and we saw this last fiscal year. So PFAS, with PFAS, the wells are being turned off, and then when the treatment system is constructed and operating, then the wells are turned back on. That's one thing. The other thing is capital improvement project is embedded in the RA forecast, and these projects, they can change the timing of them and cost. And then we have very wet and then dry periods that impact the district, the pumping from the basin, and therefore the district revenues. Very wet years can reduce pumping versus what we plan. And the district can only guide the pumping with the BPP, but we can't control it. We can only guide it towards increased pumping. At the March 6th board meeting, the board, as John said, the board provided comments for staff to lower the RA increases over the next 5 years, and then staff has developed an alternative five-year projection. Here's what was presented at March 6th, and then, as I mentioned, 24-25 was $688 an acre foot for the RA, 10.3% increase over the current year. And then a little over 9% increases for fiscal years 26 through 28. That's what we're projecting where we need to collect the revenues to pay for the 40 new wells. And then tailoring off in the final year of the five-year forecast, where hopefully we've collected all the funds that we need to produce these new PFAS treatment systems. The Sunset Gap Seawater Barrier Project hasn't been approved by the board, but it was incorporated in the five-year forecast for planning purposes. And after reviewing this project with hydrogeology and engineering departments, the design and construction will occur later than we originally thought, which pushes the design and the construction of this proposed project out past the five-year forecast. Kind of establishing a new baseline five-year projection for the RA versus what was presented to the board on March 6th. So with this new baseline projection, still the RA for next fiscal year stays 688, but it starts to drop a little bit in the outlying years. And once again, dropping from, because we don't have that as much cost for that seawater barrier project embedded in the projection. So rather than having a little over 9% increases past the 25 fiscal year ending, we're looking at more like a little less than 7% increases by having a new timeline on the new seawater barrier project for the Sunset Gap.
For clarification, Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask a question here.
Yes, go ahead, Bruce.
So the March 6th projection was more conservative. This is less so by removing the Sunset Gap barrier. Were there other more conservative projections that were also reduced from this new projection?
That's helpful. And it's a large project. It had a big impact, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but, you know, you can modify your outlook and have a worst case initially, and that's usually what is standard operating procedure, right? But I just didn't know whether you made other adjustments.
But we didn't start borrowing unless or anything.
But right? There's one more thing as well. When you're talking about difficulty of projection, static or reduced demand is a real factor now that really wasn't the case in the past, right?
Yeah, yes. And Randy mentioned making these projections are difficult. There's so many factors that impact our operations and our budget. So practically speaking, we have good confidence for maybe 2 or 3 years out. But when you get 4 or 5 years out, Randy and I don't, you know, have a lot of confidence in those numbers. I mean, they kind of give you an order of magnitude or a general area where we think we'll be. But
If we had 2 years of dry weather, you know, we'd have to redo all the projections. I just wanted the board to be aware there's kind of limitations on how far out we can project.
And we can raise the VPP, but if water demands drop, it offsets and makes a much necessary increase.
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent question, Director Whitaker. Can we go back there? Yeah, Randy, can you clarify the drop in RA between fiscal year 27-28 and 28-29? From 838 to 798.
Okay, so a couple of things are going on there. One, with the new projection for the seawater barrier, the design and construction have moved out into outlying years beyond the five-year projection. Between 27 and 28 and 28-29, the drop also has to do with not needing to collect funds for the construction of the 40 wells. We should have already collected the majority of those costs by the fifth year.
I see. It seems to be like one-off situation there that generally the cost increase will go up gradually. Would it make sense to gradually increase the RA instead of a decrease? Is that something that producers have come to expect from time to time, or because it is unusual in my recollection to see a drop off in RA projection?
Yeah, it is unusual, Director Yeo. Let me just throw another factor. Based on yesterday when we heard that the EPA is going to give us 5 years to construct all these PFAS systems instead of three, that is going to allow us to potentially reduce these projections and move some cost out into future years. So okay, we're going to come up with a brand new five-year projection based on yesterday's news. So we don't need to spend a whole lot of time on this projection because it's going to change.
It's not affecting 24-25. So got it. All right. Let's move on then. Thank you.
So as John mentioned, we do have a new option to consider, and this is the option. So staff, as I said, had originally recommended $688 an acre foot, or about a little over 10% increase. And with this option that we're talking about now, we could possibly reduce the RA for next fiscal year to $668 an acre foot. So an increase of about a little over 7% and a $20 drop in the RA. And the option would involve our commercial paper outstanding and the repayment of that. So currently we have in the for next year that we would pay down about $8.5 million of the outstanding, $12.9 million of commercial paper. This commercial paper outstanding was used to pay for the La Palma Basin property, and we drew about $28 million. To pay for that property, we have $12.9 million outstanding. And in next year's budget, we have about $8.5 million of principal pay down in that. And then in the following year, 25-26, we would pay off the remaining of about $4.5 million, and we'd be done with our commercial paper for La Palma Basin. This new option proposes that we pay the outstanding commercial paper over 5 years as opposed to 2 years. We would pay about $2.6 million a year each year for 5 years. And we could do that and then have RA relief for next year if we did that. And the reason we had a more aggressive payment was for several reasons. One, with a longer repayment schedule, the district would incur more interest costs. And Fitch has also commented we have annual surveillance with this rating agency. And one of the things they've commented on is that the district has a considerable amount of debt and that we need to bring that down over time. And they call that leverage, and they have a calculation for that leverage. And so we wanted to impact that and bring it down quicker. That was another reason. The other thing, the RA is going to be higher in the final 3 years of the forecast with the longer repayment schedule. That was another consideration. So here's a little bar chart. We're showing what the proposal is. In the dark blue, this year we paid $10 million of CP. That was in the budget, and that's what we paid. Now, for next year, in the current budget proposal with an RA of $608 an acre foot, we have CP being paid down $8,463,000. And then in the following year, $4,437,000, and then no more interest payments. And we bring down our debt $12.9 million for 2 years. In the green, showing that over the 5 years, so from 24-25 through 28-29, we would pay $2,580,000 a year over 5 years. And then we would have it paid off for 5 years, giving RA relief in the next 2 years. And of course, a little higher in the outlying 3 years. And then estimating about $800,000 more in interest expense to the district over that five-year period.
Chair Yeo, just one more what-if question here.
Yes, Director Whitaker.
Normally, I would not suggest this, but it seems to me that financially what would make a lot of sense would be to take a big bump here early rather than deferring it, because the idea, unless we expect inflation to really rage over the next several years, which is certainly a possibility, it would make more sense to retire that debt. The other advantage, and I don't know how the producers feel about this, but if we swallow that big lump early, then that's going to accrue to our benefit in ensuing years, maybe lower bumps necessary then. Yeah. And then this year, much higher than projected and reported inflation, it would be a little bit easier to swallow that bitter pill early, at least in the first year or two.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, I think it would make the out years look much brighter than they might otherwise.
Yeah.
But was that discussed at all with producers?
This detail was not, but in general, the producers have been happy with our original recommendation. So this has been generated just from board comments.
I'd be interested in taking the hit early.
And that was our same thought. Get it paid down sooner than later. But this is in response to a couple board members asking, was there an option to lower the RA?
No, I'm surprised that I'm making this argument.
Mr. Chair,
excellent points, Director Whitaker. Yes, I was thinking along the same. What we're seeing here is kicking the can down the alley. And if the producers were okay with our original plan, and I realize that staff is preparing this in response to a couple of directors' comments and looking at options, it seems like this was reverse engineered, right? You lower it by $20 and you reverse engineer to see what the impact, financial impact would be. Appreciate this. Any comments from the committee or questions for the staff?
Mr. Chair, I have a comment. It seems to me this is too costly. $800,000 of additional interest. I've always been of the. I think you should pay off as fast as you can, get out of debt. But we're also jeopardizing our AAA rating, and I don't think we should even think about that. I don't think we should get anywhere near that. And so by paying this off a little earlier and getting away from that, then hopefully we won't have that. And we don't know what else is going to hit us. I mean, PFAS, we know We know we're going to get some big hits now, but we don't know what's going to happen down the line. Is there something else? Are they going to? So I agree with Bruce and Roger. Get out of debt. I mean, or at least pay this off as quickly as
possible. Additionally, none of our producers are going to leave us, so they have to have a multi-year outlook the same way that we.
Right. And nobody's complained. Correct. Nobody has complained. So. Yeah. That's
fine. Excellent comments. Excellent comments. Director Mesqua.
No, I just want to jump in really quick and say I agree. Let's not prolong this. And Kathy's comments spot on. So thank you. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Okay, great. Any other comments or questions for staff? And I believe that I think the next slide you're looking for potential direction, right, from the committee or a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. And so
right along.
I help advance one slide. So it seems like to me, I'm convinced the staff was on the right track at the beginning. And you convinced us that at least four of us here on the committee that 688 is a better option than 668. You know, fiscal, we're being more fiscally responsible. But if the directors that requested to staff to look into different options is present, what are your thoughts? Are you okay with the general consensus that we stay with 688?
Thank you. If you're asking the general manager, yes, that was our original recommendation, and we're being a little more conservative. Another issue that we're not quite sure about next year is what pumping will be next year, and we're going to have producers who are going to have wells over this new EPA MCL. Now, the EPA is giving you 5 years to build a treatment plant, but you're still pumping and serving water where you're over the MCL. And that could make producers nervous next year, and that could reduce pumping next year. So that was another reason why we like the more conservative approach. It just gives us more options.
Okay, thank you, John. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Are any of the board members who wanted to look at the additional option, are they comfortable with this? How do they feel? Do you know? That's what he's asking.
I don't want to call anyone out, but if they're present, and John, you don't have to say who, if they don't have any comments, I think that we have a consensus here that let's stay conservative and pay down the debt as you originally planned.
Roger, I'll speak up right now if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, yes,
I was one of the people that asked for us to look at saving money. I may have been as likely that I was, because that's what I would do. And I think that's a noble question to ask staff. I don't feel it's bad at all. I think it's a great question to ask. I think they've done the work. We've looked at it. We see the analysis now. I'd rather have analysis in front of me than have never asked the question. So I am always interested in saving money. I'm very concerned about PFAS. I think the cities are going to face a lot more increases. We're facing power increases. We're facing all kinds of increases toward the ongoing maintenance to PFAS. Cities probably have not budgeted these, and they're going to be hit with a big bill that they maybe aren't expecting. So we should be very sensitive. And we should also look more at the PFAS issue. I will let the board know that, you know, this one part per trillion is unreasonable from my point of view. I'm very concerned about high levels of PFAS that affect humans. And we should certainly be very, 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 active against mediating and treating anything like that. But we don't have that in our water district, in our aquifer. I received my PFAS test scores from UCI recently, and I've been consuming Santa Ana River water, not directly through, but through the aquifer, since I was 10 years old in 1973. And, you know, so it's been over 50 years, and I had a few years off and I'm back drinking out of the tap again or out of the hose. I do use Brita though this time. And my test score was nothing was greater than one part per trillion. And when you average them up, it was like a half a part per trillion. So if that's my test score, what I've been drinking, I mean, that raises a lot of questions to me. And perhaps the whole methodology of the river affecting humans in the long run, because I've certainly been one that consumed river water that had PFAS. I've not been that affected. I'd like to see how others are. So I'll, you know, be bringing this up and maybe the board, other board members can be tested. But there's been no testing in California of the population whatsoever to just to see what are the effects we have from this. I mean, we know what's in the water, but what's in the humans? That's what's more important, I think. And we should be looking a lot more that we're spending tens of billions are going to be spent in California on this situation. And, you know, there's a lot better things. You can build a lot of hospitals with that money. So I've gotten a little bit off the subject matter here.
We appreciate your fiscally conservative approach, yeah. Steve. We always do.
We need to look stronger at this issue as it relates to our budget, because we're just going to be spending more on it and we may not necessarily need to. The World Health Organization, who I'm necessarily not a fan of by and large, they have their limits, their MCL limits at 100 parts per trillion. Is that, if anyone can, I may be wrong, but I think that's what I read. So they care about, humans. They, no one is less valuable under their jurisdiction than here. So just, it's straight. We have very, very low numbers that to me, I don't see the science for. Thank you.
25 times higher.
Thank you for your comments, Steve. And Randy, thank you for breaking it down for us. I think you have the direction, right? Or you receive the comments from the committee.
Yes. Yeah,
which direction? Okay.
Does that make you feel more comfortable?
Okay. Did that conclude that item number 8?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So moving on, one last item is the monthly cash disbursement report.
That information is in the packet, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. All right. So I would order items numbers 1 through 6 to be on Wednesday, April 17th, board member on the consent calendar. There is no opposition. Okay, so any director's announcements or reports?
No announcement or report, but it's only appropriate. Today is 4/1/1 is the date, so it should be all information.
So we see plenty of good information. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Bruce.
That's great. Okay.
All right, General Manager?
Nothing to report.
Okay, thank you very much, everybody, for your great comments and participation today. We are adjourned. It is 12:48. Thank you, everybody.